from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, it's all about generative AI. Nigel and I have taken a LinkedIn learning course, which lasts in total about 40 minutes. In true LinkedIn learning style, it's a set of short videos. And this course is entitled How to Research Using Generative AI. Basically, it's a fairly short course in using generative AI, and in this case, ChatGPT, to research information. And so Nigel and I both did it, and we thought we would just share some of our thoughts on what it was like, you know, in terms of, you know, what have we picked up, what have we learned from doing it, and what do we think is worth sharing. So Nigel, what were your thoughts?
Well, the first point is that it's a very, very basic course. And I think that's actually very helpful. That's just exactly what most people need, including myself. And some of the very elementary points that are made are, I think, pretty fundamental. One of these early points is that don't think of AI as an alternative search engine. There's things you go to Google to get an answer. What's out there? AI, you go for a discussion. It's more complicated. You have more qualifiers. You have an iterative debate with generative AI. This one is ChatGPT. I think he uses 4.0 or 3.5. Anyway, one of the later versions of ChatGPT. And I think he's right that it's a much more complex beast. But if you ask it a simple question like when was the Battle of Waterloo, you're completely wasting the power of generative AI. So what he's saying is that you go in and you go in as a certain character, a person, this kind of person, this sort of living in this kind of place. What would you give the answer to given those circumstances? So it's always about the role. He goes on and on about what is the role of the person. So you've got some context and situation. Then he says, give some examples, e.g., and then any little details that you want to get it right. Finally, what do you want? Do you want bullet points? Do you want sections with headings? And if you just say nothing, you'll just get a stream of text. So I found that simple thing of saying, please put your answers in sections with a section heading, incredibly helpful. And it comes out beautifully structured. And it's just that simple little add-on changes the whole output. And then ask it expanded questions. So when you get something, say, well, that's all very well, but what about this? Can you give me more of that? Can you give me less of that? So you end up with an iterative discussion with the AI tool. And it's like having a conversation with someone incredibly intelligent, like Martin Cousins, for example. And what that means is that instead of wasting your time asking a question, not getting a very satisfactory answer, or asking a limited stupid question, getting a limited stupid answer, you play around with it, you noodle it, you debate with it until you get something that you're happy with, and never see that as the final product. Use what you get as the basis for writing something more, polishing something, going ahead and doing more or different research. So he's saying, as a helpful guide, as a sort of sage on the side, it's useful. Don't think it's going to change your life. Write all your examples, do all your work assignments for you. It's not going to do any of those things, but it can be a huge, huge help in for everybody. And it made me think about L&D and think that so much of the debate in L&D is, can it do this content? Can it do that content? Yeah, it possibly can. But so much more interesting is, for example, if L&D used it to research some of the ideas that they're working with and make sure that those ideas are based in fact rather than guesswork or supposition, to check the research, to say, I'm doing this on this basis, would you confirm that this is the most appropriate result? Or are there alternative views, please, that I can bring to bear? So it's that sense of having something, somebody, some presence that will raise your game, I think is the most interesting conclusion that I got out of it. So it sort of knocked out of me the simple way that I've been using it. One question, very simple, one answer, take it or leave it. And since then, I've been doing some of those iterations and getting so much better, more useful results. So much better. Yeah, like 20 times better as a result.
Yeah. Interesting. One of the fundamental things that I came away from the course thinking was a lot of this is to do with minds. You know, this is not a search engine on steroids. This is like a tool that you are going to have to work with and hone your skills at using in order to have better input, which will lead to better outputs. And that is fundamentally different from doing a quick search. You know, it's like, so you've got to have the time and the willingness to work with it to actually get to something that's useful for you. Because I think if you don't work hard on the prompts, which are in effect questions with context and a lot of context, if you don't work hard on those, you're not going to get good results. And if you're not prepared to work hard on those and keep refining them and understand that you are basically in conversation, that's why it's called chat, with an algorithm that is trying to learn as it goes to refine what it's doing for you. And I think that's, you know, it may sound like that's not a big mindset shift, but for me personally, it is. I was just thinking, wow, working with this is quite different to,
it is,
you know, I use a lot of search, and you can do some sophisticated search on Google, but actually it's not that, it's different to that. So, you know, for example, you can keep refining it, and if you're not happy with what you get, you can change the context, and you can say that you don't think it's good enough, or you can mark it and say, you know, can you have another go at that? And that's quite interesting when you get into that level of refinement, because it carries on refining. It doesn't turn around and say no. I had a question about some research, and that is quite interesting. It's about an organization and the research that it had published, and it basically wasn't helping me much. And I got a bit frustrated, and I ended up asking a really basic question, which was like, what do you know about this organization? Because I just wasn't getting anything back, which surprised me. And that was quite interesting. It was quite a simple question, got quite a long answer. But actually, the way it then organized the answer led me to start thinking slightly differently about what I was looking for. So I think that you have to be quite open-minded here. I think the other thing is that at a writing level, you've got the opportunity to assess your own writing and also request ChatGPT to write in styles that might suit your audience. Now, I think that's quite interesting. You know, so obviously with a more of a journalism background, I'm interested in shorter sentences, less clauses, more active verb, you know, sentences, basically. I think that lands well with the audiences that, you know, I focus on. But you can play with that with ChatGPT as well. I think that's quite interesting. And I think my colleague is looking at running her copy through ChatGPT, looking at things like tone of voice, you know, and just almost getting it to feed back what it thinks based on her questioning. So actually at that level, not only, so you're talking about the research side of it, but actually the written word, the structure of what you write, how you write it, the tone of voice, there's actually quite a lot you can do there. And you can also go and analyze other pieces of content in that way. So if you're a learning team, for example, and you're putting out comms, then you might want to think about what someone, a typical audience persona, might like to receive and how they might like to receive it. and then look at what you're doing. It could be as simple as that. But so I think there's loads of opportunity, but I think ultimately it's your one's desire and motivation to use this type of tool and spend the time figuring it out. And the more you do it, the better the results will be.
Yeah, and the more you prepare before you go into ChatGPT, the better the outcome will be. So to ask ChatGPT, can you improve this writing? Is a ridiculous request. It will answer it. What you need to say is, this is my audience. This is what I was trying to do. These are the real outcomes that I would aim for. In the light of these, can you improve my writing? So it's all about iteration, thinking through carefully, and as accepting the fact that this bot knows nothing until you tell it something. So, for example, I work with an editor, and when I give her something, I don't have to say, now this is going to be, she knows me, she knows the audience, it's just understood. You can't expect the same from an algorithm. You have to articulate all the things that are dormant and that you normally take for granted. And the more you articulate, the clearer your own thinking is, and the more AI will help you. So in some ways, working with something like ChatGPT helps you think more clearly, ask better questions, and frame what you really want. And I found it very helpful. Just for example, when I used to do research on in university catalogs, and it's just a nightmare. I put in what I thought were good search questions, and I come out with either 25 million things or nothing. And I sat with a librarian for an hour, and she explained to me what I was doing wrong. And essentially, it was all of those things. I wasn't being explicit enough about what I was looking for, and I wasn't helping the search engines in the library to deliver for me. And it's the same with ChatGPT. You've got to think about what limitations it has, and you've got to help the algorithm as much as you possibly can. And the results are surprisingly amazing. You do get ideas, information, things that you would never have thought about. So I would urge everybody just to dabble if they want to, and make it a part of your work. There's all sorts of issues at the moment about should we allow it in the organization, should we not allow it in the organization. But I can see how easily it can be a time saver for all the kind of grunt stuff you don't want to do. It will get you not the full way down the path, but halfway down the path. And that and it will have helped you think it through much more clearly before it gives you anything anyway. So it was a good course. Dave Briss, I think you've done a great job on LinkedIn Learning. It's an excellent course. I think lots and lots of people have gone through it. It's very short, as you said. It's about 12 or 14 modules, which are 3 or 4 minutes each or 5 minutes each, but it gets to the nub of how you engage an AI engine and get at least go some way to getting the best out of it. Excellent.
Okay, so let's leave it there. And finally, we'll put the link to the course around this episode. But the course, now I've remembered what it's called, it's actually called How to Research and Write Using Generative AI. So, and that's on LinkedIn Learning. That's great, Nigel. And I look forward to our next episode.
Indeed, Martin. Thanks for your time.
From scratch.